These issues were then vigorously debated by the Roman people and then voted upon. Now we come to the significance of that gerrymandering to which I was referring just a moment ago. The Roman assemblies used the system of block voting. In other words, it made no difference how large the Roman population was. The tribal assembly had 33 votes to cast. The centuriate assembly had 192 votes to cast. How did they work? The centuries would come together when the centuriate assembly was called, and this was direct democracy. It was not a republican system in the sense that these were elected representatives of people. Every Roman citizen was automatically a member of a tribe, because he lived somewhere, and a member of a century, because he had some wealth that fixed him in a certain status, in a certain category. The centuriate assembly would come together, and each assembly, one after the other, would debate the issue that was before the Roman people, would vote among themselves, and cast a vote. So century one casts a vote for or against the measure. Century two casts a vote for or against the measure. Century three casts a vote for or against the measure, and so on. Now, remember a moment ago I had said that about 10% of the Roman people made up about 100 of the centuries? What that meant is about 10% of the Roman people could cast about 100 votes, and normally, not always, sometimes issues were controversial, produced a little splitting, but normally, the issue would be decided before the vast majority of people ever voted. And yet, everyone participated, everyone voted, it looked as though all were equals. In the tribal assembly, people came together in a voting hall, which archaeologists have discovered and elucidated very clearly in Rome. It was arranged in a series of long stalls. And at the front of the room was a rostrum, a podium, with an urn. The tribes would gather together again, all right? Tribe one gathers together, and they would discuss the issue. And then each member of the tribe would walk to the front and walk past an urn and drop in either a white pebble, that's a vote for the measure, or a black pebble, that's a vote against the measure. There's the origin of being blackballed. When all of tribe one had voted, the urn was emptied out, the pebbles were counted. There's now a vote for or against the measure. And tribe two votes. Now it'll occur to you, perhaps, that here is the origin of our electoral college. Block voting. In other words, it didn't make any difference. If tribe one had 10 people and tribe two had 100,000 people, each had a vote. Didn't make any difference. One vote per tribe. One vote per century. Okay. If we think about that system for a moment, we can see that it's rife with ironies. On the one hand, everyone participates, everyone votes, everyone seems to function equally. On the other hand, the system is managed in such a way as to leave the most wealthy, most powerful, most influential citizens with the opportunity to decide issues before they actually get to the great mass of people. So if we wonder a little bit why, on the one hand, Roman society was so stable for so long, and on the other hand, why there was always a certain volatility just below the surface, we can see it in these very voting assemblies. Okay, thus far the system, in its formal exterior aspects, that's just what it looked like. Now let's ask ourselves, how did it actually work? In other words, for instance, I mean, imagine a space visitor from Mars who landed in Washington this morning and said, well, gee, this is an interesting place. I've arrived. How does it work? And somebody said, well, here's the Constitution. Read this over and you'll see how it worked. Well, I dare say the person could read our Constitution and wouldn't probably know how our system worked. I mean, think of all the attitudes, the values, the historical experience that simply isn't expressed in that document. So in a way, what we've talked about till now is the Roman Constitution. Now what we want to say is, how did it work? Okay, what were some of its underlying principles? First, the Romans paid enormous deference to age, experience, and tradition. Rome was a hierarchical society, and Rome was a deferential society. There was a culture of deference, a very powerful culture of deference at Rome. Certain citizens, certain traditions, certain ways of doing things were accorded great weight by the Romans. The second place, and we can see this in a way as a manifestation of the point that I just made, The oldest member of the Senate, the princeps senatus, the prince of the Senate, always spoke first.